Good morning, everyone. I'm not sure what the signal I'm getting means. Oh, could everyone please move into the middle so that we have all our lovely extra guests can take a seat on the side. Thank you. That's great. Well, good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to see you all here. We have church family. We have family of those who are being baptized. We have friends, some of which have come a long way, I hear. It's wonderful to have you all here today to celebrate this great occasion. Now, you may have been to hundreds of baptisms. You may never have been to a baptism before, and I don't want to, if you haven't, I want to be able to help you understand what's going to happen today. You see, being a Christian is not about what tradition you come from or what culture you belong to, or even what family you are part of. Being a Christian is something that is offered to every single person and is freely chosen by every single person who wishes. And all it requires is that we believe in Jesus, that we come to know him, that we commit our lives to him. And the Bible tells us that the way to begin that is baptism. This is what the way we say, yes, I want to be that person, I want to follow Jesus, and I want to live my life for him. Now, here's what happens when a baptism happens. The person goes underwater and then comes back up out again. It's a bit of a strange thing. It's not elegant. And part of, I think part of being who we are is just to be willing to stand in front of our church family and our friends, dripping wet, and declare our love for Jesus. This is our baptism over here, baptistry. You probably can't see it from where you are. And we might ask if the kids want to come up and so they can see a bit closer later on. We will do that. So the person goes under the water. The water represents cleansing and being washed and being made new. Going underneath represents dying. It represents Jesus' death, but it also represents us dying to our old lives, our old way of being. And then we are raised up out of the water, once again, showing Jesus' resurrection from the dead, but also our own resurrection to the new life that we're going to live from now on. We are baptized in the name of God because it is in his power and through him. And we are baptized in the presence of our church family because baptism is a way of saying we are now a part of this family. Now, it's not magic. Nothing particularly amazing happens, and you might feel similar afterwards or you might feel different, but it's a powerful enacting out of what Jesus has done for us and what we are committing ourselves to going forward. It doesn't earn us anything, doesn't get us brownie points or heaven points, and it's not just for serious Christians or special Christians or people who've reached a certain level. It's for everyone. We're going to make three promises, or there are three promises involved. The first promise is a promise that God has already made to us, that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. The second is the promise of the person who's being baptized to follow and obey Jesus as their Lord. And the third promise is us. It's the promise of the family of God to love and support the people who are being baptized. Now, everyone here falls into one of two camps. Either we've been baptised or we haven't. If you've already been baptised, then I encourage you to take this time to remember that commitment that you made, to renew those vows and those promises once again, and to stand in celebration with those who are being baptised today. If you haven't been baptised, well, this is an excellent opportunity to have a think about why and to wonder whether Jesus is in fact calling you to be baptised. Today, all of our baptisees are fairly young, but youngness isn't a part of it. If you're not young anymore, that doesn't matter. I guess it's great to make these decisions early in life, but it's also never too late. You don't have to be super spiritual or have reached any levels or passed an exam. You just need to believe in Jesus and be willing to follow and obey him. As Jason says, we're always happy to fill up the pool. We're always happy to fill up the pool. Okay, so this here's how it's going to work. We're going to hear from each of the baptisees. They're going to give their story of how they've come to be here and why they've made this decision. Then we're going to pray for them, and then we're going to baptise them. So Harry has volunteered to come first. I'm not sure whether this is a generous thing or this is a just get it out of the way thing, but welcome, Harry. What an appropriate T-shirt you have there. Very nice.
Thank you, Miranda. Wow. Thank you so much for everyone who's come today, all my family, and all my family who's watching online, and to all my friends, I see you, and to Sharon and Howard. I know it was a big effort. I really appreciate that. So my name's Harry, and I'm 21 years old. I was blessed to be born into a Christian family with parents that raised me with the knowledge of Jesus. I spent my early years going to Ross Trevor Baptist Church and later went to Hope Church Adelaide, which is now Enjoy Church. I'm blessed with loving, stable parents, and my worth as a child of God was made clear from a very young age. Growing up, my mum would often remind me that I'm dearly loved by God and no tears are forgotten. I particularly remember Psalm 139, verses 13 to 14, where you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And Psalm 53, verse 8, you keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle, and you've recorded each one in your book. These seeds were sown early in my life and would be important foundations for my confidence in my identity in Christ. My faith was first challenged when a significant mother figure in my life passed away at the beginning of high school. She was my babysitter through my young years and very soon became like family. She was a second mother to me, and I treasure the time I spent with her. I began to question whether this perfect God could exist. How could it be fair for such a caring and generous person to die so young? In the latter years of high school, I started going to church less and less frequently, as I didn't feel that I belonged. In my mind, I still knew that God was real, but the development of my faith had been stunted. I wasn't taking it seriously, and it began to fade away like anything that is neglected. During this time, God was very clearly looking after me. I was surrounded by a hugely supportive group of friends, and in year 10, a few of them invited me to come on CE camp over New Year's, which is where I got one of these shirts. This was a very important time for me, and it was so encouraging to be alongside other Christians my age who were also passionate about Jesus. This is where I first really was challenged to take charge of my faith, and to develop a personal relationship with Jesus. I also went on CE camp the following 2 years and was encouraged and inspired each time. I made some friends who were able to help me overcome a large struggle I had at the time. Now, while this is where I first felt God's grace for myself as an individual, nothing is too big for him, and he shines light in the darkness of our lives. He wipes us clean of shame and guilt through the blood shed on the cross for me. Now, while CE camp was significant for me, it was only a once-in-a-year event, and faith is a daily commitment. It was a band-aid solution for a larger problem, which was a lack of commitment and belonging to a community. I still hadn't found a church where I could regularly have fellowship, and I hadn't put any daily routines into practice. The couple of years after school were quite challenging, as they are for most people. I was unsure of what direction I wanted to take my life, and I lacked motivation to continue with studies. I started and quickly dropped out of 2 different uni degrees over 2 years, and to me it felt as though I was wasting my life. God, again, was looking after me, though, and this was largely done through Solfact Gospel Choir. I'm so grateful to God for my friend Catherine, who invited me to join this group. So Avacta has given me a wider family of Christians who love the Lord, have a passion for music. I also met my wife-to-be, Ashley, through Solvecta. In the year and a half that I've been with Ashley, I've been inspired by her faithfulness to God. I'm so thankful to the Lord for placing her in my life, when I least expected it to. She's been a huge support for me through the start of a new career direction, but more importantly, she's been an encouragement and support for my faith. She's a constant reminder to me that faith is daily. And anyone who sees her knows that she's always that one person to be up to date on the YouVersion plans. I also started coming to Unley Park for church, and I've loved coming to the young adults group with her on Monday nights. Ash has been the big reminder that I've needed to take my faith seriously and has helped me to implement daily habits of prayer and Bible reading. I'd never been baptized before because I had a few misconceptions about the meaning and the purpose of baptism. I'd always thought that people get baptized when they reach a certain point in their faith or become spiritual enough. I'd also been quite intimidated by the public nature of baptism and had never really felt comfortable enough in a church. I realize now that baptism represents a beginning, a new life. I'm ready to take my faith seriously and to follow Jesus' example through baptism. I'm ready to serve the Lord with all my mind, soul, and strength. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He died for my sins, and through his perfect sacrifice, I'm forgiven so that I might have a relationship with God.
Thank you so much, Harry. We're blessed by your story. Gemma is going to come and bring hers now. Thank you, Gemma.
Hello. For those who don't know me, my name is Gemma. And the beautiful thing about Harry going first is that I got all my crying out of the way. So hopefully now I'll be able to make it at least halfway through before I burst into tears, but we'll see how it goes. So before I became a follower of Jesus, I was searching for my identity, searching for someone, anyone, to tell me exactly who I was supposed to be in this world. I felt extremely empty and surrounded by this suffocating loneliness in the midst of what seemed like a life I should be extremely grateful for. For many different reasons, at any given point through high school, I was so many different people, dependent on who I was with, that I both fit in everywhere and nowhere. I longed for a sense of purpose. I experienced what it was like to be on top of the world, and I experienced what it was like to be in the midst of the depths of darkness. Within each personality, I was led to sin differently, overwhelmed by the weight of my actions, with no way of saving myself. I still remember being in year 10 and completing a personality survey that was supposed to suggest career outcomes based on our attributes. I was so excited to receive my results, convinced that whatever job it said, no matter what it was, that was the job I was supposed to do. The plot twist of that story is I scored precisely down the middle of all the questions. I didn't deviate towards any exciting qualities, and I was told that I was both good at everything, but not great at anything. They couldn't suggest a job for me to do, but told me that I was lucky, because that meant that I could pick anything I wanted to do. I was lucky. But I'd never felt unluckier. And I felt fundamentally out of place in this world. But then I met a boy, and he strongly disagreed with the fact that I'd put my Christmas tree up in November, which naturally led to a heated debate about the appropriate time to eat hot cross buns, which naturally led to a conversation about whether things in life have meaning if no one believed in them. He was courageous and passionate about his beliefs, and nothing held him back. For the first time, I saw someone so passionate about living life. For who could paint such beautiful sunsets in the sky if not God? He said, Ryan, know that I will thank God every day for giving you the courage to ask a girl who told you that she didn't believe in God to a Christmas Eve service and that I was brave enough to say yes. After that service, the presence of God was undeniable, for how could I look at the world differently again? But at first, I'll be honest, I defaulted to my chameleon behaviour, because how could a person like me fit in with the people who I saw on Christmas Eve? So I became a non-committal follower of Jesus. To Christians and to everyone else, my beliefs were based on how they responded. If you were for Jesus, so was I. And if you weren't, well, how could I possibly be either? I tried desperately to ignore the presence of Jesus that became embedded within my life because I knew that there were too many people in my life who chose the latter belief. For all people are like grass, and in their glory is the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Over time, my fake flowers grew and they withered, and I was left with nothing more but myself in front of God. For the first time in my life, I was left to face who I was, but I wasn't alone. I was left to stand in the presence of the Creator of the universe, and for once, there was something I wanted to commit to. Baptism is the outward symbol of the internal change that God has brought with me through the work of Jesus, a process that is ongoing and everlasting. I have now found acceptance and a willingness to follow Jesus over perfection and perceived notions of creating an identity that pleases everyone. Often, it is hard to consider and remember that we are known so deeply that nothing is unknown to Him. The shame and guilt we feel over about anything we've ever known and accepted is known and accepted well before we've even considered forgiving ourselves. For what shall we say then in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? No longer will I allow the world to excuse me from who I'm called to be. I have come here today to stand in front of all of you for the first time in my life to commit to something, to commit to who I'm called to be. I've taken the truth to heart and brought it to life. I have nothing to hide. For Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." And I have every intention of building my tower for all to see. I have built my faith on a firm foundation. For I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else above all that was created, will be able to separate us from the love of God, that is Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Gemma. That was brave and beautiful. And our final baptisee, Aria, welcome you up to share your story.
Hello, everyone. My name is Aria, for those of you who don't know me. I've been attending Only Part... Do you hear me? Yeah. I've been attending this church for 4 years now, and I thank God for leading me to this church where I met some amazing people who now I consider my family. I recall 4 years ago, in the same month of the year, that I met Alan. He had stepped forward to invite me and my family, who were in Adelaide at that time, to attend this church. Well, coming from a Muslim background and years after leaving Islam and its false God behind, I was burdened with skepticism and distrust of my former beliefs. I was deeply repulsed at the thought of worshiping another divine being and religion in general. All this gives me all the more reason to thank God for sending me to this wonderful, for sending this wonderful man in my life's path, giving me the courage to set foot in his church. I describe myself in those early days of attending the church as a visitor. I enjoyed the atmosphere, and deep inside, I had a feeling that I was missing. I was missing what these people had. I wanted to be driven by the same passions that seemed to be driving these people, but I could hardly admit to the source of it, which was Jesus. Moving on to 2020, a series of events took place in my life, which I had no control over. I was at a very low point in my life. I felt vulnerable, yet at the same time I was full of hope. Although it was hard to admit, I knew that I was not alone anymore. Something bigger appeared to be ruling my life. I could no longer ignore or deny it. I was starting to realize that it was my pride that was holding me back from accepting the new God, the one true God. Now I was proud to give it all to Him. I know those days were a turning point in my life when I gave it all to Jesus because He was at hand. Well, throughout the past 2 years, life still has a fair bit of up and downs for me. But there is one big difference. I know that Jesus is in my life and everything is going according to His plan for me. There is a saying, where there is God, there is peace. And where there is peace, there is God. And when you have God, you have everything. And how glad I am to be attesting to that on every day. I am set on being baptized by immersion, which is a demonstration that I am following Jesus' example and His command that every Christian should be baptized. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, my Savior, and the Savior of all who believe in Him. Thank you for being here, and may God bless us all.